I just praise the Lord. I knew him when I was at the college and at Placer Rita, and he's just a man that of whom you want to exemplify, and we want to make many Philip de Courcys on that side of the world. So that gives you a little context of what we are doing, and all of that is an introduction into the message this morning. Because sometimes we can look at God's word and think of it theoretical and not see how practical it is. We live in a day when our own world, right here in America, where in many ways we're leaving the shade of Christianity, can't we say? America is the greatest country in the world, and we're the greatest country in the world because we have known in God we. And God's law has been embedded into our Constitution and has shaped the consciousness of our people. We have grown up knowing right and wrong. We've grown up with a justice system that upholds right and wrong. A judicial system that judges and executes judgment in light of right and wrong. And we recognize in our day and age that that is quickly dissipating. But know that the blessings of America are because we acknowledge God and let him reign in our country. And as our country is losing its moral compass, it's losing its moral compass because we are forgetting our mission. We are forgetting the central message that drives all of us, and that is this message: there is a king, and his way is the... Haha, you are weak on that. There is a king, and his way is the...
Yes.
That is. We've lost, if you will, the gospel of the kingdom. We've lost the reality that there is a king on his throne. And let me remind you this morning of these glorious truths and your responsibility as God's servant of his majesty to make this message known. And I want to take you to one of the most familiar passages to do that, Matthew 28. Go there with me to what has been known as the Great Commission. And I want to show you in this passage this morning the theology behind the Great Commission, because when you don't know the theology behind the Great Commission, you really don't understand the Great Commission. And so with that, I want to show you three elements of this text, three elements of this test. I want to show you the announcement, I want to show you the instruction, and I want to show you the promise. You should be writing that down. I want to throw you three aspects of the what? The announcement, the instruction, and then the promise. We know that as we open our Bibles and come to this section of Scripture that we are coming to the disciples when they are completely aimless. They are completely not knowing what to do. They followed Jesus for 3.5 years. Wherever he went, they did. Whatever he told them to say, they said. All of them had their own desires and things that they thought they would benefit from following Christ. They're all hoping to sit on his right and to his left. They knew the Messiah. They knew this Messiah was going to come and reign. And they just wanted to be in position to benefit from this. And even as Jesus came to Palm Sunday, as it's become known, and he gets on this donkey and he's saying, "Hosanna, King of Kings." And they're like, "Yes, here it comes." A week later, Jesus is dead. A week later, they're like, "Oh my goodness, what do we do now? Jesus has been saying he's going to die. Now he's dead." They don't know what to do. They go fishing. And in the midst of this hopelessness, in the midst of this lostness of direction, Jesus says, "Hey, I want you to meet me in Galilee. I'm going to come there. I'm going to tell you what I want your life to be involved. Not just you, but all those throughout generations upon generations. Not just you, but I will be with you to the ends of the earth." So it's not just you, but all those disciples to the ends of the earth. There's a mission I want you to go on. So as Jesus is sitting, as these disciples are sitting there waiting, Jesus comes up to the disciples. They respond with either worship because they realize he's the Messiah, he's the King, he's the great I am, he is more than just a man, he's the God man, and they worship him. Some were doubting, they didn't know what to think, what is happening. And it's in the midst of that, Jesus goes right past them, I think. Goes right past them, and he stands up over them as I'm standing up over you right now. And he declares an announcement. And I want all of us to hear this announcement, because I think we've often looked at the Great Commission jumping over the announcement, not understanding what drives the Great Commission. Look with me at this announcement. Are you ready with me? Look with me, and I'll read 16 to 18, all right, so that you can see the context. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Awesome. But some what? And Jesus came and said to them, and here's the announcement. Are you ready? Are you ready? Elbow your neighbor, say, hey, get ready. Here's the announcement. Come on. Come on, elbow him. You're allowed to do that. You're in Africa right now, all right? So here he goes. He says this. Ready? All what? Authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Whoa. What's he saying? All authority has been given to me, all authority in heaven and earth. Are you hearing this? Notice the word all, not some, not a little, but what? All authority. All authority where? In heaven and where? Earth. On earth. I have been given all authority. I have been given not just a little, I've been given all. All of it's given to me, all that's in heaven, all that's on this earth. What is he saying by this? What do we mean by all authority? This word authority is power, to be in charge. What is he saying? I am now in charge of all of heaven and all of the earth. I am now the King of Kings. I am now the Lord of Lords. You say, I'm confused. Well, we know Philippians. Christ humbled himself to the point of a cross, right? So God what? Philippians chapter 2. So God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee what? Every knee, listen to me, every knee what? And every tongue? That Jesus Christ is? He's the Lord. He's the Lord. Oh, my dear friends, here's the message. Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ is? He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the King. Jesus is saying, listen, I am the King. I am the King over this universe. I alone reign over heaven and earth. I alone am master. He's declaring that he is not just an earthly king. He's the King of all kings. He's not just the King of Israel. He's the King of all nations. And now with that, that shouldn't have been a shock. The Bible promised, according to Daniel chapter 7, the Bible promised that one was going to come. Daniel 7:13 says this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the cloud of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. So this term Son of Man, which Jesus loved, he's saying, I am that Son of Man who comes up to the Ancient of Days and is given this what? This kingdom. And why is he giving the kingdom? He says that all peoples, all nations, and men of every tongue might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom which will not be destroyed. What's happened is this. God has done what he promised. He gave his son the kingdom over this universe. By the way, this Bible is about a king and a kingdom. If you want to know the major theme of the Bible, it's not salvation, it's actually kingdom. It's about a king and his kingdom, and salvation is merely how we get into his what? His kingdom. And so often our theological worlds are pushing salvation, 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 but that's not the main idea. You aren't the main idea. God is the main character of the Bible. And to understand what we're talking about, is that God reigns. He is saying, I am the King of Kings. And let me tell you, there's, according to 1 Corinthians 5, 24 through 28, there's this big picture reality in the world, bigger than you and I. According to 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28, Jesus is given the kingdom. Jesus then goes and takes all people everywhere and brings them in submission to him as king. Then he takes his kingdom and he gives it over to the Father. And then he himself submits himself under the Father. That's the big picture. We know that that will not happen till he comes back as Messiah and reigns here for 1,000 years. Amen? But the big picture is the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Now pause. I want to make sure that this theology enters into our worldview right here, because I think as American Christians, we're losing the perspective. Guys, I want us to open up this tent. I want us to open up the heavens, and I want you to see life from the real reality. The reality is, right now, Jesus Christ is on his throne over the universe. Over the universe. Reigning as king. And see, a Christian is one who has bent the knee to his supremacy, surrendered their life to his lordship. This is, and every one of us, the way we must live our lives is acknowledgement of his supremacy. I wake up every day as a servant of the king. You see, the most beloved term in the New Testament of a Christian is a bondservant, a servant of the king. And so this has to drive every part of our worldview. You cannot do what's right in your own eyes. Nothing belongs to you. It all belongs to the king. And everything we do is either in service to him or not. You see, when you're an employee, you're working for your boss, but you're serving your boss as unto what? The Lord, the king. You're submitting your husband as unto the Lord, the King. You see, everything about our lives and everything we do, when you get in that car, you are in your Father's world. Do you understand? Kids, there's a King. You see, even when we pray, what do? We bow our heads and close our eyes. Why? Because that's the posture we're to have before a King. You see, we have to awaken ourselves by the reality there's a king. Listen, this is not our world. This is not everything right here. Open the heavens, open it up and see reality. Because we honestly forget the truth that he is the one of authority over all things, and that you are actually accountable to him. You can't do whatever is right in your own eyes. But you see, it's this truth that becomes the catalyst behind the what? Great Commission. That's why he says, therefore. Therefore, he goes from the announcement to the instruction. What is the instruction? It starts with a command. What's the command? Nope. Actually, the command is make disciples. Come on. Make disciples. Well, what's another word for disciples? Followers. Thank you. There's a godly man right there. I think that word's better to use here because it helps us understand what's happening. I'm the king. Go into all the nations and make what? Followers of me. He says, go and make followers of all what? Nations. Why am I in Uganda? Because I want King Jesus to reign. You see, Jesus sat over the universe and he said this, look, come unto me all ye what? Weary and all you heavy laden, and come and let me give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You see, God is always, in the biblical picture, it's crazy, is God is always calling people to come and follow them for his good. Isn't that what he said to Israel? Look, you let me reign and I'll bless you. Isn't that what he said? But what did Israel choose? I don't want you as a king. I want a king like all the other nations. That's called sin and depravity. Jesus came as the Messiah and he says, hey, look, I'm the Messiah. Come, follow me. And what did they do to him? Nailed him on a cross. But Jesus is still coming and he's saying, hey, look, come and what? Follow me. And see, we got to go to all these nations. You see, Africa is the way Africa is because they don't know the king. America is going the way it is because they don't know the king. And that's why we must raise up the language. We must remind people there's a king over this universe. And we can't just live as if there's no king. Oh, we can't just hold on to Christianity and think that there's no king. No, that's what drives Christianity. A Christian is someone who's what? Bent the knee to King Jesus. You see, we hold on to the truth. We hold on to the morality. We hold on because it was communicated by what? The king. Here is his words. And we hold our stance on what marriage is, on what biblical marriage is, and on what humanity is because we're following the king. And we know his way is the best. And so with that, we therefore go and make followers, calling everybody to come and surrender themselves to King Jesus. Call everyone everywhere to come and know the king. Repent of their lawlessness and surrender their lives in submission to the one that's created them. That's our biblical message. We go, look at Luke 24, where he tells us, go in a nation, call all people to repentance because they've abandoned their king. Now, you see, the command is to make followers. How are you doing at making followers of the king? Because listen, there's people right here, right around us, that they're living as if there's no king and they're suffering from it. Just like my village. He tells us how we're to do it. You know how he tells us? He gives us three participles. First participle is going. This is the how. How are we to make the followers? By going, by baptizing, and by teaching them. So we got to go. Listen, my dear friends, if there's any exhortation I want to give you this morning, go everywhere and resurrect the reality and the theology of God as king. Go everywhere and tell him that his way is the best. You see, as people are suffering and I'm counseling, I just say, oh, can I just tell you, there is a king, his way is the best. Don't go that way, go this way. And because I love you, I can't help but say, come on, let me help you go this way. Oh, you can party, yeah, but it's not going to bring good. It's going to bring what? Bad. So let me show you the king. Let me tell you something. We went to Uganda. We went to a small village, and literally we've seen God completely transform a village by the grace of God and what? The word of God. They've been suffering under their own sin for so long. We came and said, there's a king, his way is the best, and we began to show them the king's way. And today there are families that are being formed. daddies becoming daddies, becoming husbands that love the Lord. And you know what's returned to that community? Love, joy. Dads are actually loving their children. You know what's also happened? They start developing themselves because now they have a motivation to live. You see, the message that there is a king and his way is the best is the message to transform the African continent. Amen? Jesus knew that. That's why he called every single one of us to go out with this same message everywhere. So you have to go. Let me tell you here where to go. You know where you need to go? You need to go to your children. And you need to tell them what? There's a king, his way is the best, and show him his way. But do me a favor to show him God's way, not your way. Too often we want men following men, but you just show them this is what the king says. Because legalism is often killed where we think that God is not fun and enjoyable. Well, listen, the one who created this created it for our what? Enjoyment. So you know what? Life is good. And so with that, you tell them all that the king says and call them to follow him for their joy. And when your kids are fighting, you say, come on, we're servants of the king. That's not what the king does. And you show them what the king says so they can know the joy of that. Not only do you go, but you baptize. What do you do? You get them to die to themselves and raise to live for King Jesus. Amen. That's what baptism is. Then you teach them to what? Teach them to, look what he says. Go and look with me. Teach them to observe all that I've what? All that I've commanded. That's what you're to do. Teach them all that I've commanded. Teach them everything God says about everything. And teach them to follow. You see, what is biblical counseling? Is it not going and helping somebody who is off God's way and bringing them what? On God's way? That's what biblical counseling is. That's what we're all to be doing. You show me a marriage that's struggling, and I can go to that marriage and say, hey, look, it's not as difficult as you're making it. Why don't you love her as Christ loves the... And all of a sudden, she'll be satisfied. Or you can go to the wife and say, you know, why don't you respect him and actually follow his lead and be there to help him instead of to run him because he's tired of you picking at him and pushing him. Just come and honor him and follow his lead. But men, you need to take him somewhere. You see, our marriage problems can be solved if we follow the king. Our family problems, our business problems can be solved when we follow the king. Is it that simple, my dear friend? It is that simple. And so I say with all of us, we must go and help people follow the king. We need husbands who will lead their families to that. And see what made David a man after God's own heart? As he took Israel and helped Israel follow the king. That's what made him a man after God's own heart. You know, it's not easy. You're saying, Shannon, so what you're saying is I need to go to a bunch of Americans who hate God's law, and I need to tell them that there's a king and his way is the best. Is that what you're telling me? Is that what I'm telling you? Yes. Not only am I telling you, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ has commanded it. He's commanded it for their good. And I want you to know that because evangelism is us loving our neighbor and saying, no, don't go that way. Please come this way. It's for their good. But you say, Shannon, that seems really hard. Well, he ends with a promise. Look at the promise in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I command. And he says this, and behold, I am what? I am with you what? Even to what? You see, he was not just talking to those disciples. He was talking about all disciples, even to the end of the, even to the end of the age. Listen to me. Jesus is saying this, I myself will be with you. Let me tell you, I have held on to those promises. I moved into a little village where nobody knew the Lord. with small kids. We started with no electricity and no running water. In the middle of Africa, and you think, oh my goodness. But I have known and I have felt and I have sensed the presence of God from the beginning all the way to the present hour. And we are out there trying to establish something in our country that is extremely hard and almost impossible to do, but God has met us a million miracles along the way. And we're asking Him to do a miracle now and just providing what we need. Because we want to see God made great in East Africa for God's glory and for the good of the Ugandan people. And I want to tell you that the God who has aided us every step of the way is aiding you. Moms, you may have a difficult child, but listen, God is with you. He Himself is with you. These are the same words that God came and delivered to Israel before they went into the promised land. That God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your God will be with you, and He'll be with you the whole entire way. So you take and you go, and you make King Jesus known everywhere. And know that God will be with you even to the ends of this earth. My dear friends, our Lord is returning. But can we return with the right mentality? Can He return with us having a right mentality? We're waiting for King Jesus because we're living for King Jesus. Can He return with us telling every one of our neighbors, hey, there's a king, there's a king? Can't we do that? Instead of like criticizing the world, you say, oh, it's so sad that the world doesn't know that there's a king and that His way is the best. Only if they knew that. And just tell your neighbor. But make sure you start right at home telling your kids and building that worldview. Because my dear friends, let me tell you right now, there is a king on His throne. You are in His world and His way is the... And I end by saying this, if you have never bent your knee to King Jesus, I mean, look in your life, as my wife comes, look in your wife, life, not in your wife, look in your life. I'll look in my wife, but no. Look at your life. Have you been serving the King? You may be here every Sunday, but you're ultimately doing whatever you want to do. Can you look in your life? Are you a man surrendered to Jesus as King? Are you following Him in everything in your life? Anytime you don't, it'll bring pain. Every time you do, it will bring the blessing and the prosperity that God has called, is promised you. I'm a living example of that. My community's an example of that. And I'm sure there's many examples right here. Oh, surrender your life to King Jesus. Let me pray for you to that end. Father, we come to You, to the King, immortal, invisible, to the only true God. We come to You recognizing that we are down here like Israel. We are down here doing what's right in our own eyes, completely oblivious to Your majesty, completely oblivious, living as if there's no king. And so we all want to repent, and we want to ask that You would enter into our daily existence and help us do everything mindful of Your supremacy. Will You please do that in our hearts, change our mentalities, and help us train up our children to know the King. We ask this for the praise and glory of Your name, and we ask this for our good. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You, will You please transform their heart this morning and help them surrender to You? We love You and we praise You. May we enjoy Your world because we know You. Through Your Son, we pray. Amen.